Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to dedicate our first Quran session to the loving memory of my father, who was the first person to plant the seed of faith in my heart. He truly loved the Holy Quran, and he had committed most of the Quran to his memory. And before the electronic age, he was my Quran explorer, so anytime for a lecture or a write-up, I needed to find a verse in the Holy Quran, I could always rely on him to tell me where that particular verse was located in the Quran. I am very pleased that with God's grace and blessing, we begin our Quran study today. I'm hopeful that through these sessions, inshallah, we will learn more about our faith through the lens of Islam's most authentic source, the Noble Quran. Today's session will be introductory. First, I will provide some background information about the Quran, and then we will examine passages from the Quran that inform what sort of book the Quran is. In other words, we will let the Quran introduce itself. In our Quran study sessions, I will recite the verses in the original language Arabic first, and then, inshallah, I will provide the English translation. Unfortunately, no translation can do justice to the meanings of the Quran, be it in Farsi, English, Spanish, or German. So I will provide a short commentary for each verse, and in my commentary I will zoom in on the key words and the key phrases of the verse, and hopefully this way it will make it easier for us to grasp the true meaning of the verse. So without any further ado, let's begin with some background information about the Holy Quran. You see, all world religions, with no exception, have a focal point or a center of gravity. In Judaism, the focal point is the tribe of Israel, Bani Israel. The focal point is the historical evolution and destiny of a tribe, the tribe of Israel, Bani Israel. In Christianity, the focal point is a person, Jesus Christ, his mission and his life. In Islam, the focal point is not a tribe, it's not a nation, it is not a person, but a scripture, the Quran. The Quranic teachings, therefore, are pivotal for understanding Islam. This book is the foundation for Islamic beliefs. It's the cornerstone of Islamic practices, Islamic moral code, and spirituality. If you are a Muslim, your religious beliefs, your code of conduct, your lifestyle must be in line with the teachings of the Quran. Your lifestyle, moral code, code of conduct must be compatible with the teachings of the Quran. Now, the Quran is a book of revelation, or in Arabic language, wahy. The Quran was gradually revealed to the Prophet Muhammad through the agency of the archangel Gabriel, or Jibreel. Over a period of 23 years, during his prophetic mission, the Prophet Muhammad received the revelation not all at once, but on different occasions, during night and day. The Quran uses the Arabic word tanzil for revelation. This is very important. Tanzil means descent, coming down from on high. So this word, tanzil, implies that the verses of the Quran came down from a higher source or God. So the Quran is God's word. The author of the Quran is God, even though the words came out of the Prophet Muhammad's mouth. As Rumi says, گرچه قرآن از لب پیغمبر است، هر که گوید حق نگفتو کافر است. Though the Quran is dictated from the lips of the Prophet, if anyone says God didn't speak it, he is an infidel. So the Quran is a revealed text. In essence, God had revealed himself to humanity through his words. When someone says, I am a Muslim, I submit to God, the most immediate meaning of this statement is, I submit to the teachings of the Quran. Let me repeat one more time. When you say, I am a Muslim, I submit to God, the simplest meaning, the most immediate meaning of that statement is that I submit to God's word or the verses of the Holy Quran. And by the way, this is not the only meaning of submission to God, but it is the most immediate and simplest meaning of it. The Quran is composed of 114 surahs or chapters. And it contains over 6,200 verses or ayah. Each surah or chapter has a name, and in some cases, more than one name. And the name is typically drawn from a word within that chapter. For example, chapter 97 is titled Al-Qadr, or the Night of Power. And the title comes from the very first verse in that chapter. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. The surahs or the chapters are not ordered chronologically or according to when they were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. But under the direction of Archangel Gabriel or Jibreel, the Prophet Muhammad put the chapters together. Super critical. What I'm just sharing with you is very important because there is a lot of misinformation and bad information about how the Quran came to be on the internet. So, under the direction of Archangel Gabriel, the Prophet Muhammad himself put the chapters together and determine the location of each verse in a chapter. Therefore, all the surahs, all of the Quran's chapters in their present form as we see today, existed at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. It's very critical again. The Quran was not put together after the Prophet Muhammad. No. The chapters in their present form existed during the Prophet's lifetime. After the Prophet Muhammad died, a committee of his most trusted companions retrieved those chapters and included them in a volume, or in Arabic, Mus'haf. They put all those chapters in one volume and then they published it. And that is the Quran that we have today. So that's the background information about the Quran I wanted to share with you at the outset of our Quran study sessions. Now let's examine what sort of book the Quran is. Now you might wonder why this question is so important that I'm tackling it here. Well, your expectation of what the Quran contains will partly determine what you will get out of it. Let me repeat one more time. Super critical. what your expectation of the Quran is will partly dictate what you will get out of it. You see, one of the contentious issues that separate Muslim reformers, such as myself, from the ruling mullahs in Iran, or the Taliban in Afghanistan, and the ISIS, is that we have different expectations from Wahy, or revelation. We have different expectations from the Quran and Islam. They look at the Quran, they look at Islam for guidance on how to set up an Islamic government. They expect the Quran to show them how to set up an economic system, how to set up a judicial system. Now, with this expectation, the ruling mullahs in Iran, the Taliban, the Al-Shabaab, and the likes, they comb through the Quranic passages to find any clues, however sporadic or indirect as it may be, and then they weave the bits and pieces together to create a political narrative of Islam. But Muslim reformers, such as myself, argue that this is a false expectation from the Quran. It's a false expectation from Islam, because God has left the administration of our social affairs, political affairs, economic affairs to our collective reason, aql jam'i. So wahy and revelation does not interfere in this area. Now let's hear what the Quran has to say about itself. I'm going to share with you 5 or 6 verses from the Quran, and each verse typically share with us some descriptions of the Quran according to itself. The first verse, Al-Quran al-Hakim. This is the very first description that I would like to share with you. The Quran says about itself, Al-Quran al-Hakim. Hakim means wise, full of wisdom. Hakim is one who possesses the ability to discern between right and wrong, to discern truth from falsehood. Al-Quran al-Hakim means that the Quran is a book of wisdom. Wisdom is different than information. Wisdom is different from information. You see, information is a collection of facts, a collection of data about something. But wisdom, on the other hand, is a special type of knowledge. Wisdom gives you perspective. Wisdom gives you a good sense of right and wrong, or a good sense of judgment. That's what wisdom gives you. So when you read the Holy Quran, look for wisdom in it, not information. The second description, that's in chapter 10, verse 57. Ya ayyuhan nas, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْئِزَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. People, notice that this verse doesn't say, O believers, or O Muslims. It says, people, a teaching from your Lord has come to you, a healing for what is in your hearts, and guidance and mercy for the believers. So this verse describes 4 functions of the Quran. Number 1, it says, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْئِزَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. مَوْئِزَةٌ means advice and counsel. Advice and counsel. However, mauiza is not just any advice. You see, I may give you advice from a position of superiority. I'm up here and you are down there. I am knowledgeable and you are ignorant. We provide this sort of advice to people all the time. So even in this case, I am giving you advice. It is accompanied by a veiled insult. That insult is veiled. I'm implying that you're ignorant. This sort of advice is not mau'ize. Mau'ize is advice given with care. Advice and counsel given with kindness. It does not put the receiving person down. But what is mau'ize or advice good for? What is the function of Quranic advice and counsel? Awakening. Mau'ize addresses our weaknesses. Mau'ize or Quranic advice addresses our moral defects and character flaws. This is what Quranic mau'ize entails. Without insulting us or putting us down, the Quran opens our eyes to our flaws and defects. So hopefully we will take action. Hopefully we will fix our flaws and grow morally and spiritually. So to repeat, Quranic advice, Quranic counsel is to help fix our flaws so we can grow morally and spiritually. The next description in that verse was وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Shifa means cure or restoring health. Shifa means cure or restoring health. The Quran has healing power. The Quran is a healer. It has remedies for the diseases that afflict our heart and character. Diseases such as greed and hypocrisy. So, brothers and sisters, take your sick heart to the Holy Quran and receive remedies for cure. The next function of the Quran embedded in this verse is a huda. The Quran is a huda or hidayat. Hidayat is typically translated as guidance in English. But let me make a very important distinction here. Hidayat is more than just pointing or showing. The Quran does not just show us the path, but ensures that we reach our destination. Or in Farsi, hidayat isal be matloob hast. Let me give you an example. What do I mean that hidayat in the Quran is different from just showing or pointing, but it actually ensuring that you reach your destination? You may ask me, Hamid, do you know where the Costco is? And I tell you, yes, I know where the Costco is. It's on Shaw Avenue. Take the first right on Shaw, then go to the next street, blah, 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 blah. So I just simply give you the directions. On the other hand, I might tell you, you want to go to Costco? Come, follow me, and I will take you there. This is what hidayat or guidance means in the Quran. The Quran ensures that you will reach the destination. God has promised us. So, if you are a serious believer, at once the Quran will show you the path and offer practical steps that you can take, and most importantly, The Quran will motivate you. The Quran will persuade you to act. The Quran will persuade you to start walking on that path and get to the destination. This is Quranic hidayat or guidance. The fourth function of the Quran in that verse, it says that the Quran is rahmatun lil mu'minin. Rahmah is, by the way, one of the prime attributes of God. Rahmah means love and mercy. Isn't that astonishing? God is love and mercy. His word, the Quran, is also love and mercy. The Quran is a manifestation of God's love and mercy for the humankind. This is one way that God has shown His love for all of us. He cared about our fate. He gave us His word, so we use it to find our way in the maze of life. So these are four primary functions of the Quran in the verse that I just cited for you. Let's take another description of the Quran, which is in chapter 2, verse 185. Al-Qur'anu hudan lin-nas wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan. The Quran is guidance for humankind, with clear messages giving guidance and distinguishing between right and wrong. So I already talked about the meaning of hidayat or guidance. Now let me zoom in on another important description in this verse, which says the Quran is al-furqan. Furqan comes from the Arabic root faraqah, which means to separate, to distinguish, to split. So the Quran splits, the Quran separates, it distinguishes. In other words, the Quran is criterion. In any field, we use criterion to separate. That's what we do in physics, that's what we do in genetics, we do it in mathematics, in philosophy. Whenever you speak of criterion, that criterion splits truth from falsehood. And that's exactly what the purpose of the Holy Quran is. The Quran is a criterion. It's a barometer. It's a yardstick. It helps us distinguish right from wrong. It helps us separate truth from falsehood, beauty from ugliness. It helps us distinguish between good and evil. Let me provide a fourth description of the Quran, and this one is in chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Super, super descriptive characteristic of the Holy Quran according to itself. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبِعَ رِزْوَانُهُ سُبُلُ السَّلَامِ. A light has now come to you from God. Remember, the Quran is talking about itself. A light has now come to you from God, a scripture making things clear, with which God guides those who follow what pleases Him to the ways of peace. One of the functions of the Quran, according to this verse, is nur. Nur in English means light. One of the beautiful names of God in the Quran is An-Nur, God is the light of the universe. الله نور السماوات والارض. It's astonishing. God is the light of this universe. This universe would have been in utter darkness. It is God that made this universe full of light. God is light. His word, the Quran, is also a source of light, a source of enlightenment. The Quran enlightens us. It sheds light on our mind and heart. The Quran, the light of God, help us see and reason correctly. You see, our reason, aql, is in darkness. It is the light of God. It is His revelation. It is holy scriptures such as the Quran that shed light on our aql and reason to function properly. So, the light of God contained in the Quran takes us out of darkness. What is inner darkness? What are some symptoms and signs of spiritual darkness? Despair. That's one of the important symptoms and signs of inner and spiritual darkness. Despair. Illusion. You see, our world, this cocoon that we make and create for ourselves and we call it our life, that cocoon is nothing but the illusions that we have about our own self. That is darkness. Corruption is another sign of darkness. Profanity. But with God's light, we move from despair to hope. We move from illusion to clarity. We move from corruption to purity. With God's light, we move from profanity to piety. And let's now consider the last description of the Quran in this verse, which is so dear to my heart. It says that the Quran leads to Subul as-Salam. The Quran leads to Subul as-Salam. Subul in English means ways. Ways. The Quran leads to ways of Salam. And Salam, which is a very important concept in the Quran, means perfect health or sound condition. Salam also means peace. So the Quran leads to the ways of Salam, and Salam means perfect health and also peace. Salam is an overarching concept in the Quran. It involves wholesome health. It involves completeness in every way. Those who practice the Quran, not just read it, not just recite it, but those who practice the teachings of the Quran will lead them to wholesome health. Their heart will become healthy. Their intentions will become healthy. Their relationships with others will become healthy. They will experience peace inside and peace in their dealings with the outside world. This is the promise of God about His word. The Quran leads to Subul as-Salam, to the ways of peace and perfect health. This verse also makes a very important point about the Quran itself. The Quran is Kitabun Mubin. The Quran is a scripture that is clearly presented. Let me repeat. The Quran is a scripture that is clearly presented, no ambiguities. It is lucid. Everyone with an average intelligence can understand the wisdom and the message of this book. In chapter 54, verse 17, God says about the Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Indeed, we have made the Quran easy to understand. Indeed, we have made the Quran easy to learn lessons from. Will anyone take heed? Will anyone take heed that this book is easy to understand and take lessons from? So, contrary to popular belief, the Quran is not a highly technical book that only the select few can understand. It does not require special training. God has made His word easy enough so the average person will understand it. So, let me summarize this segment of my introductory comments on the Holy Quran. The Quran's descriptions for itself speak volume for what this holy book is all about. It speaks volume for what we should expect to find in this book, for what we should expect to get out of it. The Quran is Hakim, full of wisdom. The Quran is Huda. It is kind and tender guidance. The Quran is Nur, a source of light. The Quran is Shifa. The Quran is a healer. The Quran is Al-Furqan. It's a criterion to distinguish right and wrong, beauty and ugliness. The Quran leads to Subul As-Salam. It leads to wholesome health and sound condition. It leads to peace. So, when you read the Quran, look for these things in it. Now, let me make a couple of complementary points that is quite helpful in the study of the Quran. Super, super important points. The first point that I would like to make is that the Quran includes many themes. It talks about God, it talks about nature, the sacred history of messengers of God, it talks about Judgment Day and Qiyamah. It also includes passages that deal with religious law. But the central theme, the primary subject matter of the Quran is insan, human being. Let me repeat one more time. The primary subject matter of the Quran is human being. It is you. The Quran is about you. It is primarily concerned with human perfection. Kamal insan. It is so critical when you study the Holy Quran, remember that this book is about you and it's about your perfection. Perfection is different from progress. You see, science and technology in the modern age is all about progress. What is progress? Progress deals with external development. Progress deals with external improvements. It is important. We need to have science. We need to have technology. But we always should remember the domain of science and technology. Their whole purpose is to provide external development, external improvement to the human race. Perfection, on the other hand, deals with inner development. Perfection deals with inner growth and development. Now, what does perfection or kamal really entail? Well, the Quran confers the most honorable title to Adam, the human prototype. Don't think of Adam as your grandfather. Adam, or Adam, is really the human prototype. The Quran bestows the most honorable title on Adam. It says Adam was Khalifatullah, God's successor. This is an amazing description of all the creatures in the universe. Insan, human being, has the greatest capacity to reveal God. Perfection, kamal, means attaining the characteristics of God. Let me repeat. Perfection. Remember I told you the Quran's primary focus is on human perfection. And perfection means attaining the characteristics of God. Human being, insan, has this unique potential in all of existence. The wisdom, the light, and the guidance included in the Quran can help us realize our full human potential to become godly. That is the primary concern of the Holy Quran, so that we become godly. We realize and we attain that honorable title of Khalifatullah, the successor of God. Hitler was not Khalifatullah. He wasn't the successor of God. All these murderers and criminals, especially those who commit crimes against humanity in the name of God, they are not Khalifatullah. They are not successors of God. Successors of God are those who become godly. They realize all the beautiful names of God mentioned in the Quran, which inshallah I will discuss in the future. They become godly. They fully realize their human potential. So, when you read the Quran, remember that this book is about your perfection. All the stories of the Quran is really about you. Not about others, but about you. Our mystics, such as Rumi, say, do not view Yusuf, Joseph, Yunus, Jesus, Moses, the Pharaoh, as historical figures. Don't view Satan and angels as external realities to yourself. Rather, think of them as forces present within your own self, forces present within your own soul. Listen to what Rumi says about Moses and the Pharaoh. موسی و فرعون در هستی توست، باید این دو خصم را در خیش جست. Moses and Pharaoh are in your own being. You must seek these two adversaries in yourself. So Moses and Pharaoh are not two historical figures who lived in Egypt 3,000 years ago. No, Moses and Pharaoh are two personality types. All human beings, you and I, possess the qualities of Moses. You and I possess the qualities of Moses and those of the Pharaoh. So, look for Moses and Pharaoh not in history, but in your own self, in your own soul. Which one do you choose to be? When you leave your house Monday morning to go to work, remember, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be Moses or do you want to be Pharaoh? The same goes for Satan and angels. They are also forces within you, at your service. Satan and angels are at your service. Which one do you choose to call upon in your daily life? The second point I want to briefly mention here. The Quran has multiple levels of meaning. The Quran has multi layers of meaning. The Word of God, the Quran, has an outward meaning, zahir, and an inward meaning, al-batin. The point is this. The Quran is not an ordinary book. It's not a novel that you would read once and be done with it. The Quran is meant to be a companion for life. The Quran is meant to be a companion for life. As we mature intellectually and emotionally, we will grasp the deeper meanings and messages of the Quran. So always have the Quran at your side as you go through life, as your journey in life evolves. Make sure the Quran is next to you. Let me make one final point and close my sermon today. Okay, so the Quran has multi layers of meaning. How can we reach the Quran's deeper levels of meaning? We don't want to get stuck at the surface or at the shell. We want to go deeper, get to the core of the Quran, the core of its messages and meanings. How can we do that? How can we grasp the true meaning of the verse? You see, I submit to you that most of us might answer this question by saying, okay, go to the library, grab those 50,000 books written about the Quran and the commentaries and start reading them. Or grab the best Arabic dictionary, and whenever you read the Quran, refer to the Arabic dictionary. That's how you're going to grasp the true meaning and the messages of the Quran. Not that's how the Quran answers this question. How can we reach the inner most meanings of the Quran? Let's listen to the Quran as the Quran teaches us how to do that. Chapter 56, verses 77 through 79. Absolutely astonishing. These verses that I just tell you serve as one of the cornerstone of Islamic mysticism, Irfan Islami. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونَ لَا يُمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَحَرُونَ Indeed, this is truly a noble Quran in a well-guarded book that only the purified can touch. Only the purified can touch. So, Quranun Kareem fi kitabin maknun. Maknun in English means covered or concealed. Maknun is actually an ancient Arabian figure of speech and it involves ostrich. The female ostrich buries its eggs in the sand for protection. The Quran is also well guarded, well protected. Only the pure in heart and soul can access the full meaning of the Quran. Only the pure in mind and intention can grasp the deeper meanings and the deeper messages of the Quran. So there is a prerequisite for reaching the Quran's deeper levels of meaning. What is that prerequisite? Transformation. We need to change. This is not just true of the Quran. Listen to what Rumi says about love. We call Rumi the teacher of love. We call Rumi's book, Mathnavi, the book of love. Let's hear what Rumi says about love, which is very much in line with the verse of the Quran that I just cited to you. Rumi says,
پرسید یکی که عاشقی چیست؟ گفتم که چون ما شبی بدانی.
پرسید یکی که عاشقی چیست؟ گفتم که چون ما شبی بدانی.
Someone asked, what is love?
I answered, you will know when you become like me. Rumi says, I can't teach you what love is. You will know what love is when you fall in love. But to experience love, first you must change. You must transform by letting go of your selfishness. You can't be selfish and in love at the same time. The same idea applies to the Quran. God is pure. His word is pure. And to grasp its full meaning, we must purify our heart and soul from evil and blemishes.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.